Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Are we looking at a Trump-Sanders face-off in a year? Donald Trump is still leading the polls on the Republican side and still making headlines, the latest of which had him blasting Caroline Kennedy. And on the Democratic side, Vermont U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders is gaining ground on presumptive frontrunner Hillary Clinton. By taking the lead for the first time in New Hampshire, a new NBC News Marist poll has him leading by 9 points and also gaining ground in Iowa. I'm joined in the studio today by political science professor Angela Ledford of St. Rose, who specializes in political theory and American government. We want to know what you think. What's the ticket gonna look like? Will Trump maintain his lead? And why don't the Republicans in the race ever talk about Bernie Sanders? 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Angela, we'll start with you while the phones get busy. And by the way, don't be calling me later on telling me you didn't have a chance, that I'm a terrible person. This is it. There are 5 phones. None of them is blinking right now. You want a chance? Now's the time to do it. At the end, you'll be, sucking air. 1-800-348-2551. Angela, any chance we'll have a Bernie Trump election?
Maybe not those two. I mean, I think that one of the pressing questions we were just talking before we went on air about whether or not Sanders has a chance. I think he does. I think it's a complicated question. And I think we're always in this position at the beginning of a presidential race where we're gearing up for the primaries. And, anybody who follows presidential politics knows that the primary season tends to favor those on the extreme of their parties. So the far right and the far left are favored by primary voters, those who actually vote in the primaries. Those are who are likely to go.
Because they're more motivated, yeah.
They're more motivated. So it's always a little bit deceiving in the beginning.
Right. Well, I have announced, much to the chagrin of some people, who I'm voting for. Because I always think it's important that anybody who's listening knows where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I've announced I'm voting for Bernie. Nevertheless, I'm fascinated by the way that this is all going. Because Hillary Clinton, who I've interviewed several times and who I really like, is a person who can charm you to death when you're with her one-on-one. And today in the New York Times, there was an article saying they're changing their strategy. They're going to have her being herself as opposed to some kind of automaton, which she's been playing all along. I've been saying that on our air for a long time. I don't get it. So there is this business. We know that this is still very, very early, Angela, for people to decide. We don't even know if Joe Biden is coming in,
right,
and what that will do. And we haven't really made up. We haven't seen the whole cast of characters yet. People who are leading this time 4 years ago or 8 years ago are not. We're not even in the end when it happens. So anything can happen. Okay, Angela, if it's all right with you, we'll go to Peter in Sheffield. Okay, Peter, you're on.
I think we'll end up with Biden and Bernie competing because anybody who didn't have classified information handled properly in the military or Defense Security Service would be at least on federal probation. It'll be fun to watch Biden debate Trump.
Okay, and now over to you, Angela. What do you think about that?
It could be the case. I mean, I think it's an open question whether or not Biden's going to enter into the race. I think, a lot of people seem to think that it's a foregone conclusion, and I'm not sure that that's the case. Biden is, there's certainly, in some people's minds, and I don't think that this is necessarily definitive, in some people's minds, his age is an issue. I don't know that it should be, but it is.
Well, Bernie's old. He's as old as I am.
This is true. And the fact that, but Biden's got a long history, a long paper trail. Sometimes that works against you. And he's also had a lot of personal trauma in his life as well. And so I think part of the question is going to be whether he has the stomach to step into this. It would be an interesting debate between the two. Biden is actually not appreciably different in terms of policy standpoint from Hillary. And so I think in either case, you're going to see many of the same policy debates. The character of them will be very similar.
I actually thought when Peter raised this in the beginning, on the email thing, that was going to be the question. And as you know, it's a Democratic attorney general who's investigating her, and a Democratic assistant attorney general who has been responsible for putting people in jail before. So I think it's going to be a fairly honest approach to whether she was violative of the rules. Peter, you seem to think she was?
Yes, if Petraeus got probation, I think it'll come out in the next 4 to 6 weeks that she violated what those of us who were in the military or in the federal service would be fired and be on probation for.
The truth is, I have no idea. And I think Angela's nodding
either.
her head.
I'm not sure. I mean, they have, so far, nothing has come out. It doesn't mean that things won't. But it does seem to be that they have access to all of the things that were on this other server and this other email address. You know, and whether or not they're being forthcoming about what they have or haven't found, I don't know that any of us would ever know. Yeah. But so far, it doesn't seem to be there's a massive smoking gun.
I doubt these prosecutors.
Because it didn't say top secret on the top of the document doesn't mean it isn't.
True.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate your call. Okay. Now, 1-800-348-2551. Lots of free phones. We'll go to Mike in Glens Falls. Mike.
Hi there.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a gripe with the concept of the Electoral College and the battleground states. It seems that five states seem to be the focus of the presidential candidates in, you know, in the November election, which basically means, to my way of thinking, that my vote in New York is nowhere near as effective as if I had lived in Ohio or Virginia or Florida.
Yeah, which is why Kasich, I think, has such a good a chance for the nomination, because they want that state.
Right.
Right, and I think he'll be on the ticket whether he's the presidential nominee or not, for that reason you mentioned.
I think there's a very good chance of that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I think there is a good chance of that. I mean, just the fact that he's in Ohio, I was just kind of rejoicing that you brought up the Electoral College. It's something I always like to talk about and complain about myself, and I think that you're right. You're right on track there. Our vote in New York is not particularly meaningful. When I was in graduate school, before I lived in New York, I was in South Carolina. My vote also did not count there as well. In many ways, it works to depress voter turnout. It works to keep candidates from giving attention to states that are not battleground states, and those states have continued to be narrower and narrower. So
yes,
but, I'm with you on that.
Yes, but what to do is the question. I mean, we're not going to amend the Constitution. That's clear.
That's what I think needs to be done.
Well, yeah, easy for you to say.
the only way I can envision getting rid of the Electoral College is if neither presidential candidate gets a majority in the Electoral College, and it throws the election into the Congress.
Into the House.
The House and the Senate, the House voting for the president, the Senate for the vice president.
Right.
If we were to get a president of one party and a vice president from the other, that's the only way I envision an end to the Electoral College.
I think you're right that it would create that there would have to be a crisis in order to make that happen. And I've actually written fairly extensively about what could happen, what could replace the Electoral College. And there are some options, but I think, as Alan points out, getting to the point where we could actually imagine a constitutional amendment, it's a long and laborious process, and it's meant not to be changed.
I wanted to bring one other thing up, and that is that while your vote might not count that much for president, it sure as heck is going to count a great deal in New York State for who controls the New York State Senate, which has been, terribly, drawn by self-interest. And it looks like if Hillary is the candidate, if Bernie is the candidate, a lot of people are going to come out and vote, and that will probably put the Democrats in control of the state Senate. That's my bet.
Yeah.
So your vote will count for something. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Apex Solar Power, Queensbury, New York. Locally owned, installing solar panels, solar hot water, solar pool heating. ApexSolarPower.com for information. De Blas's Chamber Music Series, presenting music from Manchester Quartet, Sunday, September 27th, 2 p.m. at the Hyde, Glens Falls, New York, deblasis-chamber-music.org. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy. Comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people. nature.org/Adirondacks. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. There are two free phones. We move them along real quickly, everybody, so this is a great time to call, but by the end of the show, you won't get near this. So again, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, so Alan says, Fran, I'm with you with regards to voting for Bernie Sanders. Do you think that his ideology and positions on wage and wealth inequity and money in politics are going to draw a lot of big money to his opponents? Does a bear walk in the woods? If he's able to sustain his national campaign and continue his rise in the polls, is he going to face criticism regarding his need to raise big money to sustain the campaign? Angela, do you want to take a crack at that?
Well, he is going to have something of an uphill battle in trying to get any corporate funding, big money. You know, they're not going to probably underwrite his campaign. And so it's not an insurmountable thing, but money in politics is pretty central,
especially
and fairly decisive.
Especially after this Supreme Court.
Right. You know, one thing that we saw with particularly Obama's first run was getting so many small contributions and how that added up over time. It's not impossible. And I think that this is what we're seeing right now is sort of that groundswell of support from regular folks where they're living exactly what he's talking about. And he's really reaching them. Whether that's sustainable, I think, is really the question.
Okay. We got four people on the phone. Let's go to Mark in Delmar. Mark, you're on.
Hi there. Hello to both of you.
Hey.
My question is, about Bernie Sanders. Why is he legally allowed to run for election on the Democratic ticket for President of the United States when in all previous elections, to my knowledge, he has run as a Democrat or as a socialist independent?
I think in fact, Mark, the first answer is not legalistic, but it is. That they are delighted he's doing this. Look, I've had him on the air many, many, many times. I've asked him that question again and again, and he would not interfere with the Democratic Party by being a sort of Ralph Nader, blowhard, third party, no matter, I don't care what I do. And of course, the Democrats are delighted with that outcome. Angela?
Mm-hmm. There's also no legal test for how you run. You get to decide what party you're running on, and there's no test that says, am I a Democrat? Am I a socialist? Am I whatever?
Well, there is in New York State. There's something called I wish I remember the name of the law, in which if you want to run in a party that's not yours, you have to request permission. Wilson Pakula, that's what it is, Wilson Pakula. You have to ask permission of the party to do that. But I think you're right, Angela, on the national level, that is not required.
Right. And that was more of a historical, I think, move to keep people from running specifically in order to derail the other side.
Well,
do you think this is not going to be an issue with the Democrats?
No. One of the reasons that he's pulling ahead in by 9 points, that's phenomenally interesting, in New Hampshire. And apparently we're hearing that he's doing much better in Iowa. Well, if he comes in with those first two, that's going to set a standard. And then you see the Hillary response today. I'm going to be myself. I'm not going to be, you know, the old-fashioned Hillary. We could talk about that for a few hours, too, about why that was happening.
Well, we could also open another can of worms, which may get some more callers in to say, I would also say that Sanders is not actually a socialist either. So,
Well, he says he is. And I think, look, Here's the interesting thing, Mark, for whatever it's worth. I haven't heard, now maybe I haven't had my, maybe I haven't listened. I haven't heard a single negative word from any Republican candidate about Bernie, mm-hmm. which I suspect means they want him. Mm-hmm. As a, and then they'll open up the commie lefty socialist kind of thing once they get rid of Hillary. So anyway, Mark, thank you so much. For appreciate your call. Okay, right. Let's go to John in Pittsfield. We got one free phone for you, folks. Go,
hi,
John.
There, Alan.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
It's great to hear you're supporting Bernie Sanders. As a small business owner and actually a city councilor in Pittsfield, one thing that I'm fascinated by with the corporate media or the traditional media is the focus and fascination with the actual horse race as opposed to the issues that the horses are representing. Because when you look at the issues that Bernie Sanders represents, it really aligns with how many of us feel. And I think that's one of the reasons why it seems like Bernie Sanders is not getting coverage. He's being positioned as this crazy left-wing person, when in reality, he actually represents what more Americans, are hoping for, increased, in Social Security benefits, the shrinking middle class issue, and, billionaires controlling elections. And you have all this, and yet, again, this focus on obsession with Donald Trump, and it's bizarre.
Now, John, because there are five people behind you, I want to try to get everybody in.
But
I know your work, and I appreciate it, and I think you're a good man. But I'm very down on how much the American people really know and want to participate in politics. As Angela said, a very small number of people actually vote, a minuscule number of people vote in these elections, in these primaries. And there's a reason for that. A very small group of people know what you know, for example. And I know the abuse you get in your city council seat in Pittsfield is unbelievable. You got to have a really thick skin to put up with what you put up with from the stinking trolls. So, so I thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Doug. Let's go to Doug in Schuylerville. Okay, Doug, you're on.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm glad you mentioned that you're voting for Bernie. I am too. My call is about what I hear.
By the way, can I just
people...
interrupt? Can I just interrupt for a moment, Doug, and tell you?
Yes, sir.
I didn't tell you who I was voting for because I was trying to get you to do it, anybody else to do it also. I did it because I think it's fair, and I run counter to many news people about this, to tell you where I'm coming from so you can judge me and what I say. That's all.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Doug.
Yes. I don't like the idea. I hear a lot of people say Bernie Sanders is unelectable, or even on the other end, Trump is unelectable. If everybody votes, if 90% of the population votes for any one candidate, aren't they then electable?
Yeah. My question to you is, Doug of Schuylerville, what if it's a Trump-Bernie election? Who wins?
Oh, I say Bernie, but that'll be an interesting conversation.
I'd say Trump wins big. That's what I think, because he's
more... Trump wins big?
Oh, yeah. Because I think that there is a middle, class phenomenon, Midwest, that is not going to support Bernie. And when they open the guns on him, the socialist guns and the commie guns, the left-wing guns, the rest of it, oh, my goodness.
Well, there's a movie out there called Idiocracy. I recommend anyone to watch it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Doug,
thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay. One free line, which Doug just gave up. Let's go to Barbara in Gilderland. Okay, Barbara, you're on.
Oh, yes. Alan, I have a concern should Bernie Sanders be elected, and that is that he doesn't have the political know-how to handle the Congress. And what my fear is that we're going to have four more years of the disarray and chaos that we have now.
So what would you suggest? In other words, we know Obama has had all kinds of problems with his Congress, right? We know that Bill Clinton at one point had a lot of problems with Congress. We know that Hillary is despised by a lot of the Republicans who happen to control both houses of Congress now. The question is, which of these candidates is more likely to bring a Democratic Senate or even House with them as a result of an election. My bet is it's probably Hillary. Angela?
Well, I mean, she's got certainly got a lot of experience. I wouldn't say, I don't see any evidence to think that Sanders is any less equipped to handle the Congress than any other person is. And, you know, I think we have these visions as well of, you know, somebody like LBJ is like the master of the Senate, or somebody who has been a masterful technician in dealing with congressional politics. But look, to some degree, that's not exact. It's true and not totally true. And another thing is that Congress isn't the same as it was in the 60s and the 70s either, and that they're able to take strategic control of the elements of Congress and leadership and the committee system. They take much more advantage of those things. They have taken on some powers for themselves. So I don't know that anybody. I don't think that anybody is necessarily at a disadvantage,
well,
I would say.
Yeah, but the real question is, can any of these candidates bring either a Republican or a Democratic Congress with them?
Right.
And I think...
And even then, it doesn't always help.
Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. Okay, listen, Barbara, thanks for your very interesting call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Steve in Canajoharie. Steve in Canajoharie, you're on.
Hi, guys. I'd like to go back to the Electoral College for a second. I seem to remember in the last election that some states were choosing to allocate proportionally, and they had the right to do that. Is that true?
Don't know. Angela, you know?
Yeah, it depends. Some states have that. They can totally adopt that. And some states have, I think there are some state laws that require it to be winner-take-all. But I think the state legislatures can change that.
But there's another, I thought there was something else you were going to say, which is particularly brilliant, Steve. There's a movement in the United States, as I remember it, that legislatures pass bills which say, we will vote no matter what people vote for. We're going to cast our electoral votes for those for that candidate which has won the popular vote.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, that's an interesting one, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what I was going for. We might not need a constitutional amendment, right?
If no, everybody if you do that, that's right. If you do that, not. But the chances of that happening are not that good.
They're not that good.
No.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Okay. We got, we have three free phones. I don't know how that happened, but we do. Two free phones. Let's go to Margaret in Saratoga. Okay, Margaret.
This is Margo in Saratoga
Margo.
Springs.
I forgot.
M-A-R-G-O, yeah. I'm a Vermonter, and I have been very interested in Bernie for many years, and I've talked to him, and I have never heard anything negative come out of his mouth.
You're right.
And I think that, if nothing else, this is going to make the cleanest presidential campaign we have ever seen in our lives.
Are you kidding?
No.
Are you kidding? Once this guy gets up there, let's assume he wins the nomination. You think the Republicans aren't going to call him names?
Well, they will then, but I don't think he'll fall to them. I mean, I have not witnessed him in a debate, but my son has. So standing on the podium at Castleton State, now University in Castleton, Vermont,
yep.
Bernie was running for his first seat as a representative from Vermont, and somebody was running against him. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who. And my son was so impressed because Bernie stuck right to the agenda while the other guy was so busy shoveling that he couldn't stop to address anything.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Well,
I hope you're right.
I don't want to argue with Margo, but I think what she may be saying is you're going to have the cleanest election ever from one side,
from one
as
side.
Opposed
because okay, they'll come after him.
But
yeah.
You know something? I had
something.
Company. I had a young man here from Long Island, 52 years old, getting involved in the Bernie campaign on Long Island. California friends. Getting involved in the Bernie campaign.
Oh, yeah.
So don't, I mean, you know, this guy is out there and he's speaking to people.
Well,
and Donald Trump is an idiot. I mean, he doesn't have to go very far, and I know he's attracting a lot of people, but I truly think unless he starts spending some of his wealth to some of those people, he might have a hard time getting elected.
Well, he might. Okay, thank you, Margo. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Jerry in Clifton Park. Jerry, you're on.
No, hi, how is everybody today?
Hey.
I just wanted to mention the Bernie or Bust campaign and whether you think that would create leverage. This is a write-in campaign for people to commit to writing in Bernie Sanders in the general election regardless of the outcome of the primary. And they feel like if they get a million people to do this, they may create a lot of leverage on the Democratic National Committee to accept him as their nominee.
So, okay, we got it. We got it. Angela, you want to go first?
Okay. I want to say, yeah, I'm with you there in spirit. We don't have a good history of writing campaigns in the United States and the Democratic National Committee either of being moved by such things.
No, but it's also stupid.
This would be leading up to the primary.
Why is it stupid? Because who would you like to see the President of the United States appointing the next four justices of the Supreme Court? Would you like it to be the Republican who you negate by writing in a third-party person's name on the ballot? I mean, there are some difficult decisions.
I think the Republicans are in terrible disarray this election cycle, and it's different than past ones, where because there have been two previous Democratic presidential cycles, it's going to go Republican automatically. Those rules are broken, and it's not going to happen this time.
Okay, Jerry, fair enough. You got very provocative there. I gave you my provocative answer. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Mark in Albany. Mark in Albany, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks again for everything.
You're welcome.
First of all, why Bernie could get elected. His first election for senator, he ran against the richest man in Vermont and won in a landslide, almost 2-1. Second, why he could legislate. He has extensive experience in both the House and the Senate. And in fact, as an independent, he's been quite effective in getting legislation passed.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think he's done some, but I don't think you can. If you look up the record, you'll find out he's been very effective.
Including community health clinics in the Obamacare bill and a lot of veterans legislation working even with Republicans.
Okay.
Second, more important, the only way Bernie could get elected, and I think he can get elected because the 99% outnumber the 1%, is in a populist landslide that would bring in a lot of previously alienated voters. That would change the composition.
Yeah, you make a point. You make a point.
I hope that happens.
On the other hand, Trump could not legislate because he cannot fire the Congress.
Okay, we thank you for your call, Mark. Okay, let's go to Brian in Waterville. Okay, Brian in Waterville, you're on. And by the way, there are four free phones right now. So if you've been waiting to make this call, now's a great time to make it. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Brian, go.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Alan.
Sure.
I want to ask you in the panel how Bernie Sanders could do better with minority voters. His views are incredibly consistent with the Black Lives Matter movement. He said things on the Senate floor to that effect before that movement existed, yet he's not polling well with minority voters.
That's correct.
Well, I think that is a good question, and it is a problem as we move forward here. You know, the previous caller was talking about his great hope because the 99% outnumbers the 1%. Unfortunately, the 99% don't vote together. And here is one reason and a legitimate reason why there might be some hesitancy at this point to cast your lot if you're a person of color, why you might not be ready to cast your lot with anybody, much less somebody from Vermont who he struggled a little bit. I think his philosophy is very much in line with the Black Lives Matter movement, but he's struggled a little bit speaking effectively to that. And I gather that his heart is in the right place from what he has said, but he's going to have to do a little bit more work, I think, in order to give them a legitimate option that where they're really going to say, okay, I can move in this direction.
It's an interesting question because people who represent the lowest edge in terms of the affluence of America often don't vote in their own political interest. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bernie uses big words. He is, I'm not saying that people who don't have any money don't understand big words, but he has to learn to regulate his speech in such a way that everybody gets it. And I thank you for that very interesting question. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a community-owned natural grocery store dedicated to sustainable agriculture, the local economy, and the environment. Berkshire.coop. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors. Serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com and on Facebook. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more. Where eyewear is an art. Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com. Habitat Post and Beam, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, designing and manufacturing energy-efficient post and beam homes and additions throughout the Northeast since 1972. Postandbeam.com. Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction. AlbanyRealtyGroup.com. And the Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month clubs, Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine-Free Tea, and more. TheWhistlingKettle.com for catalog and online ordering.
One 1-800-348-2551. We're down to the last third of the show. Angela, let me ask you a couple of questions sent in by our listeners. Jeremy says, did the Electoral College system make sense at a time that was put in place for the U.S.? Is technology the reason, or part of the reason, that it does not work well now?
That's an interesting question. Certainly the folks who made the compromise at the beginning to adopt the Electoral College made a lot of sense to them. My sort of academic position on this is that it does not make a lot of sense for us now. And it's not just technology. It's a different nature of, I mean, technology plays a role in it, but I think it's a different way in which we understand politics. It certainly operates in different ways than it used to. We ask our government to do somewhat different things. It's a completely different historical context. I don't think it works well for us, but whether or not we can change it and what we might do if we could is a very open question. I mean, it comes up perennially.
I don't think it's going to happen anyway. Does the esteemed guest have any idea when Trump fever will die down? I predict he'll insult Pope Francis later this month. Why don't we leave it at that? Okay. And we'll go back to the phones now. They're all ringing. Let's go to Rupert in Red Hook. Rupert, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I've got two points and one quick question. So the thing that I'm very frustrated about in participating in this democracy here in the United States is that the media, such as yourselves here and everywhere else, has fallen into this giant trap every 4 years to stimulate the election economy of the country by going full frontal, narcissistic, egomaniacal feeding of the monster. You know, it's as if it's about one person.
Okay, we got it. What would you have us do?
Instead, talk about the crew. Who does Bernie Sanders associate with? Who is his crew? Who is his party? Who is he going to bring to the table as cabinet members? Who's going to run the show? Because it's not just one person who runs the company.
Okay, but is he going to tell us that?
While you speak to that issue, when you talk about who is he going to bring to the table, who's the team, who's the dream team, you will then be speaking to the issues that matter to us.
Okay, listen, Rupert, because there's so many people on the phone, we thank you for that. Let's go to Philip in Berlin. Okay, in Berlin. Okay, Philip, you're on.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick one for you guys. If you know anything about it, I'm interested to find out more about the campaign of Larry Lessig and his referendum presidential run.
Well, you're looking at blank faces around here. I get letters about Larry Lessig every once in a while, and I must say I haven't done my homework very well, but he's not exactly on everybody's lips. You want to tell us just a little bit about him?
Well, most of what I know is he's a big name in open source software, and he wants to run on a couple of different issues all pertaining to taking the money out of politics and equity of the vote, and he claims if he accomplishes this that he would then resign and let his vice president reign.
Okay, thanks, Philip. And let's go to John in Newburgh. There are three free phones right now, 1-800-348-2551. John in Newburgh, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I think we need somebody like Theodore Roosevelt for the middle class.
Yep.
And who do you think is running? Who would best be for that?
You mean who would be most like Theodore Roosevelt?
Most able to do it.
Well, let's remember that Theodore Roosevelt got to be president almost by mistake.
I realize that.
Yeah, right. And so if you take a look at the Republican candidates, I think a lot of people would agree that the person most likely to sort of capture the common sense of a Roosevelt would be John Kasich.
I think it's Trump. And from what he said on his program, he's more middle class than most people would ever imagine.
Yeah, including me.
Okay.
And the second most one would be Chris Christie.
Okay, you can put a fork in Chris Christie. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Ever since he went on the George Washington or whatever. okay, so that was okay. Now let's go to Rachel. And this is, right now there are four free phones. Rachel, you're on. You're on, Rachel.
Rochelle. I'm sorry.
So sorry. Yeah.
Yes, listen, I've been following Bernie Sanders for many years. I lived in New Hampshire when he was the mayor of Burlington.
Right.
Oh, I love him very much. I like the fact that he speaks truth to power, which really is very impressive to me. Anyway, one of the questions, I didn't hear the first part of this whole discussion. So, one, I was wondering if you discussed a possible Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders ticket.
Uh-huh.
And two, I find it very interesting that the two candidates that appear to be appealing to the public are kind of outliers to the establishment.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking that in a lot of ways, Trump and Bernie are the opposite sides of one coin, that the American people are pretty well disgusted with the establishment
yep.
politicians. And I like Hillary. I wish Hillary had run before. But I think she creates her own problems more than anything.
Okay.
She's a wonderful person. She's very bright, very capable. But I think she's been damaged so much by the media and by the Republican right-wing conspiracy, if you want to say,
yeah.
that she tends to protect herself a little too much.
Okay, we're going to leave it at that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Good points. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now on to Lisa in Woodstock. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that Bernie Sanders running for president is like a dream come true for me. I've loved Bernie for so many years, and I'm black. And I want to say that black people need to educate themselves a little bit more and not just vote for someone like Hillary because she's the name that everyone knows. They need to really
You think that's
educated.
What it is? You think that's what it is, right? That explains.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Definitely. You know, in New York City, I know teachers, very educated people who did not know who Zephyr Teachout was.
Oh sure.
When she was running, it's.
Which is
I
why
don't
she.
Know what it is.
Which is why she won in all the WAMC.
That's
listening
right, because
areas.
you made sure that we knew about her.
Well, she made sure she knew about her, and we. But I think you're right about that. That the difference between. Upstate and downstate, what goes on. But anything, Lisa, thank you for calling from the People's Republic of Woodstock.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Yes, well, just let me make two quick comments. One is, I have met Donald Trump. The man is an idiot. I worked for someone that rented some building space from him, and he's an idiot. He's surrounded by thugs.
Hey, do me a favor, will you? It doesn't help. The idiot stuff doesn't help. We can
do
that.
Okay, I'm just saying. Okay, he didn't impress me. Let's put it that way.
That's good.
and he has you know, a couple of thugs around him. And I just want to say I will probably vote for the independent in the primary, but I'll probably wind up voting for Hillary in the election.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point you make, James. That in the end, you got to make up your mind. Are you better off with a Democrat or a Republican?
I'm a lifelong Democrat.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I'm gonna let the next person go. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Let's see. I think we got a problem here. We're a little bit ahead on what's happening. Okay, you got one for me? Okay, great. Okay, that's good. And now we've got a Bruce in Ulster. Bruce, you're on.
Yeah, nobody has yet talked about, if it's a close election,
yeah,
the ability to steal it, in a sense, by suppressing the vote like they did in Ohio in Democratic districts, and with people of color having long lines because they didn't have enough machines, they didn't have enough people taking.
So was that accidentally on purpose, Bruce, or not? In other words,
it was,
you think.
And also the ability to maybe hack into these machines and falsify the vote.
Yeah. Well, those are important points, and I'm glad you called to tell us your fears, because American elections, you know, we send observers to all these countries to make sure that they're honest voting, and then we get hanging chads in Florida and long lines in Ohio. And so you make a very good point, Bruce. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to, I think it's Rachel in Rhinebeck. Okay, Rachel in Rhinebeck, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Hi. Thank you. My question is, this is really for you, Alan, since you were saying how important it was to have a Democratic president
yep.
in the next election.
Yep, yep.
Why, if you think that Bernie would be completely defeated by the Republicans, would you support him in the primary?
Well, excuse me. I guess you haven't been listening for the last 25 days.
Okay.
I've said over and over and over again, I'm voting for him.
Right.
So,
you why.
What'd you say?
I'm asking you why you would vote for him if you think he's going to lose.
Oh, no. I'm voting for him because I think it's the right thing to do. But if Hillary wins the primary, then I'm going to vote for Hillary in the general election. But I do think that if you take a look at the demographics of the United States and where the voters are and what their political orientation is, I think you're going to know that Bernie is going to have a hard time. Far be it for me to say he can't win, Angela.
No, I agree. I mean, one of the things that has come up over and over again is, and I appreciate this, people who are calling in who say, I'm from Vermont or I'm from New Hampshire, and I've seen firsthand the good work that Bernie Sanders has done, the kinds of policies
sure.
he's been able to usher through. And I'm absolutely with you there. But I've lived in New York State this is my 14th year, but mm-hmm. I originally hail from Texas, I must admit.
I hear
And when I go home, I have to remind myself, you know, I'm sort of surrounded by politics on the East Coast, and it is very easy to forget the middle of the country.
Sure.
The whole middle of the country. And it's not just Texas. It's lots of other states. It's
sure.
Ohio. It's Illinois.
Sure.
It's Missouri,
yeah.
right? It looks very different. It sounds very different in those areas. And as much as I'm with you and believing that Bernie speaks to working class interests in a way that many other candidates have not in the recent past, whether or not, I mean, Alan brought this up before, that the problem is that so many middle and working class Americans actually vote against their economic interests. And this happens over and over again. And we could have that conversation about why. I think there are many rich hypotheses that are put forward about why that's the case, but it's undoubtedly the case.
Okay, listen, thank you very much, Rachel, and now we'll go to Maggie in Clifton Park. Maggie, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I just wanted to ask your opinion about what you thought about a ticket of Kasich Rubio. Kasich at the top, Rubio for VP.
It wouldn't be the first time. Cutting to the chase, it wouldn't be the first time we have that kind of thing. So we have Dwight Eisenhower, and he picks Dick Nixon to run as his running mate to bring some of the some of the regularity of the Republican Party, you know, along with him. I think Kasich, personally, is their most dangerous candidate.
I totally agree. He's dynamic. He's got the governing skills. He has a proven record of working across the aisle in Congress.
Yeah.
And he comported himself very well in the last presidential debate.
Sure.
And I'm a Democrat who was not fond of Hillary, but I saw her in New York City at the Woman in Action conference, and she was excellent. But I am troubled by her legal issues.
Okay, listen, I got to let you go, but thank you.
No worries.
Thanks a lot.
Good show, Alan. Thanks a lot. Bye.
1-800-348-2551. We're almost at the end here. You know, I see Alphonse D'Amato, who always can pick a winner. Who's his protege? George Pataki. Pataki's got 1% or so I don't know what the heck he's doing up there. But he is endorsing Kasich. That's got to mean something, mm-hmm. even over his protege. All right. So we'll go to Scott in Albany. Scott, talk fast.
Yes. People have to get more informed. They have to get away from the "but I like her" kind of mentality. You know, whether they like Bernie, whether they like Hillary. I'm a Bernie, supporter. But the thing is, you have to look at Hillary's the history of this whole email thing is one thing. The history of her lobby money, all people need to do to get partially educated at least is go to Google, put in Hillary lobby money, and start reading genuine articles about her history with Wall Street.
Okay.
And also, obviously, her $35 million home, obviously, by the way, too.
Okay, yeah. It's even more than mine. Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551. We're almost out of time. In fact, we probably could get one more in here. David in Vermont. David, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Talk fast.
Well, I just wanted to bring out, I don't know if you all have discussed this yet, but if Bernie were to be elected, and by the way, I'm a Vermonter, I vote for him all the time, but if he were to be elected president of the United States and were to manage to serve two terms, at the end of his second term, he would be 83 years old, and just purely cold, hard actuarial tables suggest that he'd have a high probability of dying in office.
So he should probably have a good vice president with him.
if he could announce that he'd be running with Warren, he'd have my vote, but he can't do that before the primary.
She won't do it.
Well, he could do it. Absolutely could do it. And Joe Biden hinted at it the other day when he had lunch with her, with Warren. You can announce anything you want to announce.
That's true.
But I think, the older I get, the more I appreciate older people. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so we are just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. Apologize to the many who were left on the line. Like Glenn and Jack, and apologize to them. And I would like to thank the St. Rose political science professor, Angela Ledford, for joining us in the studio today. Angela, as always, you were superb and appreciate it. Okay, support for the Vox Pop comes from Washington County Tourism, featuring cycling, culinary, and campaigns throughout Washington County, included guided tours, classes, reenactments, and more. Washington, New York, WashingtonNYCounty.com, and Upstate Divorce Mediation, specialize in divorce mediation and collaborative divorce, helping couples who are seeking legal separation or divorce offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill, UpstateDivorceMediation.com, SPAC, presenting the Saratoga Wine and Food Festival and Concours d'Elegance, September 11th through 13th, featuring chefs Josh Capone, Ellie Krieger, Rick Orlando, and sommelier John Wesson, SPAC.org. And Curtis Lumber are working to support their communities through their Pet Connection sponsorship and by providing professional services and supplies to owners and contractors. CurtisLumber.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Beloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.